Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Petrus Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol PRQ and on the OTC markets under the symbol PTRUF. We are chatting again with the president and CEO Ken Gray, as well as the COO Matt Skanderup. Now, Petrus Resources focused in Western Canada. The company has an extensive inventory of oil and gas development assets in Alberta, operating in three core areas: Ferrier, Central Alberta, and the Rocky Mountain foothills. Now, we're bringing the team on just to quickly recap what we've seen so far in 2022, and then also follow up on the November 9th news release that outlines the guidance for 2023 and some of the growth in terms of production and cash flow into next year. Ken, let's start with you in terms of recapping this year and your capital program. There was a lot of work done. You were continuing to grow the company as well as grow the free funds flow here. Give us a little recap, the highlights of 2022, please.
Happy to do that. 2022 has been a big year for the company. We started out the year with continued debt problem. We brought our debt down quite a bit, but we had unsupportive lenders. So we needed to restructure that. That was completed in May. We now have a supportive lending structure and a much lower debt level. And that's allowed us to get to what we really wanted to do, which was to start developing our assets. So around June, right at the end of June, we got two rigs running, and we've been drilling ever since, drilling and completing wells. Those wells started to come online around early October, and we've now started to see the production increases that we've forecast for this year. Through October, we'd spent $88 million, almost exclusively on drilling wells, and production was up. You know, we reported in our last activity report that our production was at 8,000 BOE a day, and it's going to continue to grow from there. And so that's kind of what we've been doing.
Well, sounds like a productive year indeed. And I know that things are gearing up for even more growth as you move into next year. Matt, let's get you into the discussion here, and maybe let's dive in a little bit more to the production growth. Where is it coming from? How do you see things setting up for the move from third quarter to fourth quarter, and then importantly, moving into 2023?
Okay. Yeah, thanks, guys. So corporately, you know, as far as operated drills, we're on our 15th drill, I guess, of this year of operated wells. There was four other non-operated wells that we were involved in, but we're just finishing up our 15th operated drill here, hopefully in the next couple of days. We followed up with completions on all of those wells. We still have three wells that we will complete towards the end of the year, hopefully here. So that'll continue to keep bringing on more production. As Ken mentioned, we're starting to see some production gains from these wells, sitting October at about 8,000. Our guidance, we're still comfortable with at 10.5 to 11. Assuming that all of the rest of the development kind of gets completed, we're doing some debottlenecking in the field as well, which takes time. And, you know, obviously we're working at it, and we were aware of all of these things that are coming with the increased production. So we still have a busy month to get everything on and kind of hit our guidance, but that's what we're working towards. And then into next year, like Ken said, we're looking at continuing that growth path that we have and continuing to drill wells.
Now I'm seeing from that news release that next year's, let's say, growth projections come in at about 13,000 to 13,500 BOE a day. That's the average production estimated rate. That would be an increase of about 75% over 2022. Matt, can you give us a little bit more understanding of the balance between oil, natural gas, NGL production in terms of the overall production portfolio, and if that's going to change at all moving into next year, please?
Yeah, for sure. Like, as of right now, I think our natural gas weighting is sitting at about 60% last month. You know, with that, there's obviously 40% liquids. Of those liquids, probably about 27% of it is oil and the rest is NGLs. As we drill new wells, you know, the production of these wells is a lot lower GOR or a gas oil ratio at the start of these wells. So when you start to bring on new wells in our Cardium area, we see our oil weighting being a little bit higher at the start of the wells, and then the GOR increases. So, you know, as we bring on more wells, we expect the balance to stay kind of similar to this. And then, you know, it'll I would say in general, as the wells continue to produce, the gas weighting will get higher later on in the year. But it's our budget and plan to make sure that we're bringing on good wells. And with those new wells, they're going to definitely have some higher oil weighting in them.
Well, Ken, I want to throw it back over to you, and let's talk a little bit more about the financials of the company. You did highlight some of the 2022 capital program at the onset there, but I'd love you to dive into a little bit more about, you know, what you're doing on the financial side of the company, what the budget is for 2023, what the plan is moving into next year.
So going forward, I mean, we're at, you know, Q3, we had debt of about $50 million, which is kind of our max level of debt that we're comfortable with. We'll carry that into next year and probably bring that down some. Like Matt said, we're on target for this year. So I think our guidance was to have $85, $90 million worth of cash flow this year. For next year, with the continued drilling, like you mentioned, we're looking at an average rate next year of $13,000 to $13,500 with the additional capital that we planned, which was in the $130 to $135 million of capital next year. Again, largely to drilling and completing wells. So that gets us to an average production rate of 13,000 to 13,500, which is, you know, I think it was 75% increase over what we expect the average to be for 2022. So substantial growth, both in production and in cash flow. We expect our cash flow next year to be in the $140 to $150 million range. So, you know, we're just continuing on. We, like we've said and told everybody, you know, this company is sitting on some great assets. We haven't been able to develop those assets until just now, and we're getting after it. So we're just carrying on what we started here in the second half of the year. And we're looking forward to it. We think we've got great prospects and can't wait to get after it.
So diving a little bit more into that estimated funds flow into next year, that 140 to 150 million, what are the underlying price assumptions that you guys have heading into next year that support those numbers?
I think it was about $77 WTI, I believe, and gas was around $4 an MCF.
Ken, maybe just one more for you on that. A lot of people have seen oil roll over from the highs it made earlier in the year up in the 120s, the mid-120s, down into the high 70s. Is there any sensitivity to lower prices where there's a challenge for the company? And then conversely, what happens if oil turns back up? What happens to the sensitivities with higher prices if we move into next year and see a jump in the oil and gas prices?
I think I'd say, I mean, we are hedged. So, you know, the sort of short-term fluctuations in prices don't affect us as much as some people think. You know, our target is to hedge about 50% for the first year out. So so that's one thing. I'd also say that we're a very flexible company in that, you know, we're drilling these wells and we can adjust that capital program at any time, depending on what market conditions look like and what the outlook is. So we definitely have that flexibility, which is nice. We're not committed I guess, to drill in any of these wells. We're not forced into drilling any of the wells. So we do have a large amount of flexibility there. At current prices, I mean, yeah, they were quite high earlier, which was very nice, but you know, we didn't really expect that, and we didn't build our budgets based on those prices. So our budget's based on, you know, slightly lower prices than what we're seeing right now. So we would expect to continue our capital program if all things stay the same. If we were to see much lower, for instance, oil prices, and, you know, we are a split company. I mean, half our revenue comes from liquids, half comes from gas. So, you know, it's not entirely tied to the oil price, and the, I would say the macro outlook for natural gas prices is quite good, but we look at that as a whole and how it affects our cash flow. You know, we're a low cost producer, so it's primarily would affect our capital program if prices were to fall significantly, in that, you know, if we didn't like the outlook for prices, we would just cut back on our capital program and just basically defer that drilling until prices were better. Conversely, if prices are way better and cash flow is way up and we have more money to spend, we do have more lands in that we could develop, so we could accelerate the program as well. You know, the main point I think most investors should take from this is that we can be quite flexible based on what the market conditions present.
Okay. You have that flexibility in terms of, yeah, what the market does, what the underlying price of energy does. Ken, I want you to kind of summarize what sets Petrus and the growth that's planned for next year apart from the wider energy sector and all the other energy stocks out there, that a lot of the stocks have had a very good year and they are looking towards growth for next year. What sets Petrus apart in your eyes?
I think we have more substantial growth than most other companies out there. I mean, I'm not aware of many that are talking about 75% production growth year over year or 65% cash flow growth. So I think that sets us apart. And also keep in mind, this is organic growth. We're not planning to issue any equity in order to do this. So this is, I think it's a very good story, and you know, with those numbers, you know, we should see, you know, a fairly good share appreciation. And so, you know, we think we're a really good story for investors and somewhat unique in that regard. I'm not aware of any other companies, at least in the Canadian sector, that are at our size that are projecting those kind of growth numbers.
Okay, well, appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, those are big growth numbers. There's not many companies that have that kind of production growth or financial growth on the slate for next year. Matt, just wrap us up with any key news or milestones you want investors to focus on as we round out the year, we move into the first quarter of next year. Any key things you want investors to keep their eyes out for?
I think ultimately we want to continue to execute the rest of our program. So, you know, look to see that kind of wrapped up towards the end of the year. And, you know, we'll be excited to talk next year about, you know, how our growth plan is going to play out. And as we keep activity going, right, it'll be exciting from our standpoint to get the news out to investors as we can and just keep propping this story along for sure. Right. So with the growth will come news and we'll be glad to share it.
All right, Matt, Ken, thank you for this update. The company does a good job of keeping everybody up to date on what's going on a monthly basis. We will be posting a link to the company's website, so go back through the recent news to stay up to date with what the company's doing. And if you have any follow-up questions for Ken or Matt regarding anything going on at Petrus, especially if it deals with the growth into next year, please email ShatterEye. We are happy to get those addressed for you. Ken, Matt, again, thank you for your time. Please keep us up to date on future news. We're happy to have you back on the show.
Thanks a lot.